Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Bam.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make The Fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
On 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back, Sports Bros, Football Friday. Rob, me, Soup, there. So do you.
Someone has pointed out that we were talking about the murder hornets, that apparently the sexy murder hornet is a hot Halloween costume.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're out there.
I can see that.
Basically, it's just like it's a onesie swimsuit with some little ear feelers and some wings.
I was just looking at I flipped it over to the channel that the World Series is on.
That would be Fox, correct?
Yeah, Joe Buck at it again.
Yeah.
The guy never sleeps.
That guy's everywhere.
So he did Monday Night Football.
He's been in a stretch of 7 different games in 7 days.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. Then Tuesday and Wednesday he did baseball. Last night he did Eagles-Giants. Did he do Monday night?
No, he probably did a baseball game.
Baseball
on Monday.
Game.
No, because they started Tuesday.
Okay, so maybe Tuesday started the streak then.
I thought maybe, or no, he did Sunday night.
Maybe that's what it was. I can look it up.
I never remember. Anyway.
Baseball, Thursday night football, baseball, NFL.
Football.
Baseball, question mark?
Baseball?
Anyway, I was looking at the Globe Life Park where they're playing that.
Yeah.
They're down in Arlington.
Mm-hmm.
That is a weird-looking stadium.
So, yeah, he started with the Packers at the Bucks. That was where it started.
So, Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So he had Monday off.
He did Packers-Bucks. No, he did Kansas City-Buffalo.
That's what it was. It was the makeup game on
makeup
Monday.
Makeup game. So,
that's
he did
right.
Packers-Bucks, Kansas City-Buffalo, game one of the World Series, game two of the World Series. Giants, Eagles, and then game 3, and he'll do game 4 as
well. And he'll do game 5.
Yep. Well, yeah, I get that. They're just saying, I guess that's this week. So there
yeah.
you go.
So he's working Sunday to Sunday, different yeah. major sporting event every day. That's awesome.
At least the World Series, they're
good for him.
There's not travel, although he did have to travel to go to New York on the day off and then come back, and now he'll do the next 2 games.
I'm sure
here.
His travel is cumbersome.
Yeah, they are saying that it is private planes. He is not flying first class nor commercial. He will be just fine.
Well, yeah. I mean, doesn't he always?
I don't know. I don't know if you fly private every single time. I'm assuming you don't.
Bye.
I'm guessing.
Trying to stay upright and he trips.
I'm guessing he flies first class, but.
But that stadium, so the roof's closed tonight because of the weather.
It looks terrible, by the way.
From the outside, it doesn't look like a ballpark. It looks like a train station or something.
And it's just ugly.
It is ugly.
That, and I'd like to point out that it literally sits right next door to the perfectly good stadium that is being unused next to it that isn't even paid off yet.
Now, inside, it's pretty cool, but only with the roof open. There's something about a stadium, even like T-Mobile or Safeco or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
When the roof's closed, it's just different. It just it's not quite right.
Now, the SoFi Stadium, I know that's not baseball, but that thing still, that blows my mind.
SoFi is the new one in L.A.
That's the new one in L.A. that has that weird dome. I guess, I mean, it's not really a dome. It just has that glass ceiling structure over the top of it. That thing's insane. Like, they, you can go find, there's tours of that thing. I can't fully process that because I've been to Jerry's World, which is what, AT&T Stadium, right? The one in Dallas?
Sure.
I think that's what it's called. And I've never seen anything quite like that. And they're saying that this SoFi thing dwarfs it. It costs $5 billion.
Yeah.
$5 billion.
Aren't the NFL like,
yeah, all the be
offices
a,
will be there.
There'll
stuff?
Be a West Coast headquarters. They're going to do one in New York, and then they'll do a West Coast thing. So all the NFL films and all that stuff and will be set up there at SoFi.
All right. Well, coming up here, we will set your weekend DVR. Joey Harrington will join us at 5:30. We'll have a little discussion about implementing new offenses and the like. Club 1080 tonight, I have the numbers on tactical gear sales in the United States. I know you're big on this.
Oh, boy.
Americans buying tactical gear. I have the numbers.
This just blows my mind. And there's more and more of them. Like every night if you're watching TV, someone's trying to sell you something and they just say tack or spec in it. And then they tell you that it's made of the same stuff that airplanes are made out of. And they're like, oh, my God, I got to run out and buy it.
So we'll have that. Some other shenanigans in our club hour 6 to 7. Right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frostbrewed Coors Light.
It's chicken.
Yellow weasel! Yellow weasel! Yellow weasel!
Number five.
It is bowl season, but, well, officially.
Yeah.
It's going to be called bowl season. They changed that today. But bowls being canceled right and left. So now they're saying the Holiday Bowl yesterday canceled, so they won't play because of the COVID. And now the Fenway Bowl is off.
I didn't even know there was a Fenway Bowl. So
yeah. Well, there isn't.
What are we going to what are we gonna do without the Fenway Bowl? There's only other, like, 80... games out there.
Is there really a Fenway Bowl if it's never been played and they won't play it this year?
Sure. It's like there's the Seattle Kraken, but they've never played a game.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's just an idea floated around out
just
there.
An idea.
Just an idea.
There's also rumor that the LA Bowl, which does involve the Pac-12, and the Myrtle Beach Bowl are also going to be canceling. Right now, there are 34 bowls that are a go.
Well, it's weird when you consider that one of the things about going to a bowl is, you know, guys go and do team activities, and there's you get to explore the kind of the local stuff. But you're in the middle of a pandemic, and if it gets worse, what the hell is the point of going to a bowl game? But ESPN pays for it. You need programming. So
Number four. There
will be some bowls, I guarantee it.
A couple of other college notes. Purdue's request for Jeff Brohm to call into the coach's box on Saturday because, you know, he's got COVID. He's got a Q-teen. That has been denied.
Yeah, you can't do that.
And
just do the Nick Saban thing and say you don't have it.
College golf note, Vancouver's Spencer Tibbetts has a bright future, perhaps even on the PGA Tour, but he announces he is returning to Oregon State for his senior season.
Dude, I've seen that kid play. He goes to Royal Oaks.
Yeah, he's amazing.
That kid is so freaking good.
Game 3, World Series. It'll be Buehler and Morton. The roof is closed in Texas, which typically means fewer runs. The ball carries less. Good matchup. Could be a low-scoring game tonight. They are just underway. It is 1-1 Rays-Dodgers in the series.
I know Walker Buehler has been great in the postseason, but people are acting like Charlie Morton's just like chopped liver. Last time I checked, he's pretty good, too.
Are they really acting like that?
I do. I feel like
he's been great.
I know, and everyone's just like, well, they got Walker Buehler, so this is great. The Dodgers. Well,
Morton has been great, but he's going up against a much better offense. The Rays can't hit Walker Buehler. The Rays can't hit me.
Number three.
That's what you said last time, and you bitched and moaned about it, and they scored 6-1.
Yeah, but Walker Buehler wasn't on the mound. That's the point.
Well, now Charlie Morton's on the
mound. He's going to have to pitch well. He's facing a tough offense. What else do we have? Injury news for the NFL Week 6. Saints place wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders on the COVID-19 list. He is out for the Panthers game. Also, Michael Thomas is out with a hamstring injury, so neither of those guys will play for New Orleans. Seahawks safety Jamal Adams is a no-go in Arizona. The Bills list corner Tre'Davious White and linebacker Matt Milano questionable for the Jets game. They will be without wide receiver John Brown and cornerback Josh Norman. Will the Bills? The Eagles are sending DeSean Jackson to the IR after last night's injury. Running back Joe Mixon is out for the Bengals against the Browns. Cleveland tight end Austin Hooper had an appendectomy. He is out. And the Niners are optimistic that tackle Trent Williams will be back, but Raheem Mostert is out. Did you get all that?
I got all that. The Eagles, by the way, cannot catch a break under any circumstances. Sean Jackson's back, and he's out. Lane Johnson is back, and he's out.
The NBA will be back before you know it. Their plan now is to start December 22nd with a 72-game schedule that will finish before the Olympic Games.
Yeah, and you know, if you play deep into the bubble, you can't be happy about this. But yeah. You know, and it
that's
just
a quick turnaround.
And it sounds like maybe the All-Star game could be nixed. And everyone kind of thought that they were going to try to push this back a little bit further because the idea was to get fans in the stands. But I think the idea now is that just try to get this over with and try to get back to some semblance of normalcy maybe the year after that. I don't know how realistic having a bunch of fans in the stands is going to be, whether you play it in December or January or February. And the players have let it be known they do not want to play in the summer.
Well, free agency will be like literally crammed into 2 weeks at this rate.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
And you got to figure out the salary cap structure. And, you know, there's a lot to work out here before this thing kicks off. Or tips off, I should say.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
And number one, Antonio Brown, the wide receiver. You may remember him. He's kind of a piece of crap.
Oh, he's not kind of. He's a piece of crap.
But he can catch a football. He is eligible for reinstatement to the NFL after week 8. Today, he signed with a new team, and it is not the Seahawks. He signs with Tampon Bay.
Yep, so I guess he's down there. He's got agreed to the deal. He'll start his COVID quarantine, and they're saying he could be ready to go by week 9.
No new positive tests today for the Raiders or the Broncos. Both of their games are on as scheduled Sunday. The Raiders host the Bucks, but that game was moved to a 1 p.m. kick from Sunday night, and then the Broncos host the Chiefs, and they have snow in the forecast in Denver.
Oh. First snow game of the year, right? I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen any of the white powder.
Well, knowing Denver, it'll snow for like 3 minutes and then stop, right?
Yeah, they say they don't expect much accumulation, but it's going to be cold. Cold, windy, blustery. You know, it's Denver.
Yeah. It does happen there. And you look at if Antonio Brown is anything like he was in Pittsburgh, where you really can't, the guy's a piece of crap. We all know that, but he's been one of the two or three best receivers in the league for a number of years. And we didn't get to really see him obviously with the Raiders because that thing blew up. But you add him to that lineup when you talk about Godwin, you talk about Evans, you talk about Gronk, Scotty Miller in the slot. I mean, and it's an embarrassment of riches there in Tampa Bay. So, and this is on Tom Brady. It's Bruce Arians had originally said that this wasn't going to happen. Didn't want anything to do with him. There's a pass there. It's a pretty ugly one at that. But it sounds like Tom Brady, what Tom Brady wants, Tom Brady gets. But at the same time, I do think this puts some pressure on Tom Brady to make sure it works because he is the advocate that got this done.
1-0 Dodgers, by the way. Justin Turner just went yard.
For heaven's sakes. Is this going to start your bitching and moaning?
Yeah, I mean,
no, I was just reporting. God, no, I'm a sports reporter.
You're such voice, a sourpuss.
Your voice.
You guys did not hear anything I said yesterday, did you?
Your voice.
Not one damn thing.
Oh, no, we just didn't believe anything you said yesterday.
The Wall Street Journal got me right.
Yeah, and then Justin Turner just hit a solo home run and they got you wrong again.
Well,
you know, the Dodgers are up 1-0.
I was reporting the sports. That's what I do. That's what people call me.
Sports reporter.
I'm a sports reporter.
Comes with conviction. Reporting. Oh, the Dodgers are up 1-0 in the first inning over the Rays. Mm-hmm. You can hear the game over on 910 ESPN Portland would be a sports reporter. Instead, you went, oh, the Dodgers are up 1 run.
It's 1-0. The Hot 5 is brought to you by Coors Light. Live sports are back and always better with an ice-cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Let's set your weekend DVR next on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, our football friend, Joey Harrington, will be by in our next segment to discuss, you know, football.
And stuff. You never know where it's going to go.
I do. Football.
And stuff.
But right now, cue the music there, Maestro. Let's get you ready for your weekend in sports. Because, you know.
Sports.
Football. It's going to be a big weekend because the Big Ten and the Mountain West are firing up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good.
There's not a single game in the Big Ten that I give two rips about, by the way. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Yeah, but it's nice to have a bigger schedule. Like, the wider the net games, the better there's a chance you get some just better stories, you know?
Sure. Well, it's probably going on right now, right? The Illinois-Wisconsin is tonight. I mean, this is actually the
Big Ten Network.
Do we have the Big Ten Network here?
I don't know. I'm going to watch baseball anyway. Screw them.
We do have the Big Ten now.
We do?
Yes.
Boy, that's an upset.
Mike, keep an eye on that for
no,
us.
No, I'm going to be watching baseball.
Yeah. No offense to Wisconsin or Illinois.
Oh, it is right there. Yeah. Let's check it out. Tell me what you see. What's the first thing you see?
No one in the stands.
Ew. Illinois.
In case you were wondering, Wisconsin's having a bit of a problem with the whole COVID thing. So, yeah, no one in the stands.
Looks cold. Illinois' uniforms are terrible.
What, are they all whites?
Yeah, I don't like that.
You know me.
It didn't even look like Illinois.
You know how I feel about the all whites.
Yeah, you love the whites.
I do love the all whites. Always do.
So that's the game. That's one of the games.
I just have always preferred the whites.
Tonight. Tomorrow, 9 a.m., ACC Network, Syracuse, Clemson. Let's do this. The spread's 46. Mike, do they cover?
No.
The Q's, I mean?
No.
Mike's willing to lay the points.
Did you see the score of the game against Georgia Tech last week?
Yeah, 73-7.
Yeah.
I did see that.
You think Syracuse? Now, granted, Syracuse played okay against Georgia Tech. Actually, they might have won that game. I don't know. Every game's been on ACC Network. I can't watch
them. They beat Georgia Tech 37-20.
Well, there you go.
But they are coming off back-to-back losses against Duke and Liberty. Liberty and Duke.
46.
Liberty and Duke both scored 38 against Syracuse. If Clemson wanted to, I'm being dead serious here, 100 points?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of college teams could score 100 if they wanted to.
The Orange can't stop the run to save their lives and have had trouble for 4 years stopping Travis Etienne, so I'm going to go ahead and say he runs for 397 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Just once.
Well, that could milk the clock.
That is true. Keep that clock running.
I got Clemson by 40.
Just once.
Oh, giving Syracuse the cover and the spread right there.
I want to see a coach piss off another coach. Like a Lane Kiffin sort of situation. Mm-hmm. And just wants a big-time coach just be like, you know what?
Run it up.
F you. Like Scott Frost, right? Like Nebraska was beat a bunch of bitches about the whole like not being able to play thing. And I get Ohio State was too. But, you know, like someone like that to take a shot at Ryan Day or attack a program and just come out and be like, we are going to go hurry up the entire game. We're leaving our starters in. And we are going to beat your ass for the ages. Just once. I want to see that.
Mike, what happened to Syracuse? I thought they were supposed to be good.
What happened to Dino?
A couple years ago. Like, Dino Babers was a hot item, and now they suck.
Yeah, some of it has to do with injuries. They've lost a lot of players the last 2 years. Also, this year they had a bunch of starters say, yeah, I'm not going to play because of COVID. So this year it's just kind of a wash. I think, honestly, it's hard to get talent to Central New York because it's a terrible place to live.
Well, they were doing good a couple years ago, weren't they?
Yeah, but that was because Oregon's own Eric Dungy was amazing.
Yeah.
He covered a lot of warts.
Babers should have left. Also tomorrow, 9 a.m. The 9 a.m. slate, there's a lot of games. You've got Nebraska, Ohio State on ESPN. Kansas State.
No. Nebraska, Ohio State's Fox. That's the big nooner.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. That's the big nooner on Fox.
Okay. I must have misread that. NC State, North Carolina. That's a top 25 matchup.
Yeah, I remember North Carolina at one point was like 7th in the country until they weren't.
Kansas State. Auburn, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, TCU, Florida State, Louisville, all at 9 a.m.
Hey, don't look now, but also at 9 a.m., they're ranked. They're number 25 in the country. Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, that's a good little club.
They're undefeated, including a big win over Kansas.
Nebraska, Ohio State's at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's the big nooner is at 9 a.m.
Yes.
Right?
You said it was at noon.
No, it's the big nooner because it's East Coast. That's, you know, they do the big noon on
but
Fox.
You made it sound like.
You literally said, no, it's at noon.
You said, no, it's at noon. No, it's 9 a.m.
Oh, I meant it's the big nooner. So the Fox's main pregame show in the big nooner here is at 9 o'clock.
Yes. Right.
I'm sorry if that was.
Nebraska, Ohio State, 9 a.m. on Fox.
Because you said it was
ESPN,
and I said, no, it's Fox, and I said it's the big nooner. So that's. I apologize. It is weird out here when you say the big noon because it's not. It's not
like anybody's going to watch it anyway.
It's the big 9 a.m.
It's the big breakfast. I will watch a little bit of that because I think it's kind of fun watching Nebraska wallow.
Let's see. 12:30 CBS, Alabama at Tennessee. Is that a sneaky game?
No, Tennessee is.
What?
Yeah. No.
Nothing?
Tennessee just got hammered by Georgia and Kentucky. Hammered.
12:30 ABC, Notre Dame Pitt.
Alabama's going to lay one on them.
Now, why is Pitt on ABC? Aren't they supposed to be on NBC? What's happening? Who's winning?
Yeah, I don't know what's
occurring.
My guess is maybe this has something to do with the ABC or the ACC thing.
Yeah. Because they're part of the ACC now.
Yeah, they're part of the ACC this year. That's the only thing, because, yeah, their games are always NBC.
12:30 Fox, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. That is actually a top 25 matchup.
Yep, Oklahoma State, by the way, the last undefeated Big 12 team. So if you are a Pac-12 fan, go Iowa State. You want to see carnage. A lot of two-loss teams, and that benefits you.
Baylor, Texas, ESPN, 12:30. Cares. Now, 4 p.m., you got Utah State, Boise State on FS1, Mountain West.
Oh, Mountain West is
Gary
back.
Anderson.
Will he quit right in the middle of it?
4:30 ABC, Michigan, Minnesota. That is also a top 25 matchup.
21 versus 18.
That's a good game there. Minnesota, you know, row the boat's got that thing cooking.
He's got a, well, I, look, he built a good program when it was a Central Michigan, right?
Thirdville.
Yeah, and the
it
question
was Western
is,
Michigan.
Western Michigan.
You guys do this every
I
time.
Do it every time.
Both of you.
The question is if he,
I knew
is,
that.
And this is where I feel bad for programs like Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I did.
You get Fleck.
I don't believe it.
And he comes there, and Fleck has that thing trending in the right direction. But we all know that if they have a good year and they pop one, go to Rose Bowl, he's gone. They're not going to be able to afford to keep him. And that's what sucks about, you know, being one of those stepping stone programs.
Let's see. 5 o'clock tomorrow on Fox, you know, the World Series will be back on. So that's game 4,
yes.
Dodgers Rays, 5 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock, nothing good. It is a top 25 matchup, but on ESPN2, it's Cincinnati and SMU. Mm. So there are 4 top 25 matchups this weekend in college football.
Cincinnati is number 9?
Are they?
Yeah.
Wow.
Boy, I just... And by the way, their win so far, some team that I... Oh, Austin Peay? I was going to say, who is APSU? Austin Peay, Army, and South Florida.
Wait, why is there an S? Is it Austin Peay State now?
I'm assuming so.
What?
It's the
Are you sure it was Austin Peay?
Yeah, the Austin Peay Governors, but it is APSU, so I'm assuming that's state.
Yeah, they're calling it Austin Peay State now.
That's weird.
That
considering
is weird.
That's
when
not a state.
Change that?
Well, there's plenty of places that are like that, though.
I know, but they just changed that. Didn't it used? Is it always been Austin Peay?
I always
State?
Thought it was just Austin Peay. I did not know it was Austin Peay State. Is that Texas, by the way?
Fascinating.
Anybody?
They
no
are
clue.
In
Kentucky.
Tennessee.
Oh.
Ooh, I was close.
Let me just state for the record, and we said this last week, that North Carolina was not the 6th or 7th best team in the country. I'd like to go on record and say that Cincinnati is not the 9th best team in the country, and they won't be after a couple more weeks.
Well, who is, you big jerk?
Yeah.
It ain't Cincinnati.
Oregon is. By the way, Notre Dame is not the 3rd best team in the country.
You are correct.
So there. Sunday, 10 a.m. game on CBS. Great one. Steelers-Titans. That's game of the week in the NFL, so we'll get that here on cable. 1 p.m. CBS game is Niners-Patriots. But you're also going to get the Fox 1 p.m. game. It's now going to be the Bucks and Raiders.
Hey, that's a nice, those are actually 3 legit games.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you get stuck with some crap here locally.
And then Sunday night, you get Game 5 World Series on Fox at 5, and then Seahawks Cardinals at 5:30. Good little Sunday.
That's a good, you know what? I'm just going to say it's a good little weekend of sports.
That is, yeah. It's getting better.
Good little weekend.
And then it'll be even better when the Pac-12 starts on November 7th.
Yes.
Right? All right, Joey Harrington drops by next. We'll talk to him about implementing a new offense like they're doing at Oregon and what that's like and what are the pitfalls of that. And we'll do that next. Here's Mike. All right, welcome back to Football Friday. Love that open. Joey singing to us. You know what this means?
I do.
It means we have Joey on the line. Joey!
Thank you. No, please hold your applause.
Hey, did you hear? Have you heard?
That wasn't you?
Wait, what?
That wasn't you clapping?
No, those are Rop's. He's got like an entourage of ladies that kind of follow him around.
Those are in studio audience. Most of them are hot.
It's a bit much.
Yeah, see, there they are again.
Ladies, calm down.
Got it.
Have you heard your laugh that we clipped from last week?
No, what?
All right, let me play this for you.
Really?
That's you.
Man. That was when you asked me about how the Pac-12 could ever be like the SEC.
I did.
I'll do it again. Really? Oh, what? God, that was such a stupid question.
Oh, stop.
Really?
I don't ask stupid questions. Now, here's another stupid question.
Sorry.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yep.
So, take us behind the scenes of a new college coordinator implementing a new offense like Joe Moorhead is doing? What's it like? And what are the pitfalls?
Ooh. Okay.
What should we watch out for?
So, pitfalls. Old habits. And I say that with the players, from the player side, right? So Dirk Cutter was our coordinator my red shirt, my freshman year. And then Tedford came in after that, right? And so and it was a very different – actually, this is a great question. Here we go. Let's spill a little knowledge here.
In your face. Right?
Ready, Sook? Let's talk football. Okay, so Cutter was – very progression oriented, right? So you come out, you drop back, and it is your first read is the curl, your second read is the corner route over the top, and your third read is the flat, right? Doesn't matter what the coverage is, it doesn't matter what the, you know, what the defense does, that's where you go. You go 1-2-3. Tedford was of the mindset that the coverage and the defensive coverage would dictate where you go with the ball, right? So here is your progression. It's a curl this is your concept. It's a curl, a corner over the top, and then a flat back. Well, if they're playing quarters coverage, Rob, you don't know anything about this, so I'm just talking to, you know, Big Sook here. So if they're playing quarters coverage, right, you're working high-low off that Sam backer, right? And if the outside backer runs with the flat, then you throw the curl. If the outside backer drops under the curl, you throw the flat. If they're playing cover two and that corner who has the flat drives on the curl, then you throw the corner route over the top of it, right? So there are very different ways of thinking through things. You know, it's kind of the West Coast offense, the old Bill Walsh, you know, where it's just, here's your progression, 1-2-3-4-5. Doesn't matter what happens, that's where you go. And if it's open, you throw it to them. Versus, I'm going to take what the defense allows me to take because there are inherent weaknesses. There is always going to be a hole somewhere. So depending on what new coordinator versus old coordinator's philosophy was, there could be some pretty significant I won't say growing pains, but hangovers, right? Well, I went out here because, you know, that was my first look, which was what it was with Cutter. But Tedford's like, no, that's not your first look. That is part of what the defense is going to tell you, how the defense is going to tell you where to go. And the defense told you to go somewhere else. So there are very different philosophies. It's not always just, you know, flat curl or post in a corner. There are different ways of getting to those routes, depending on what the coordinator's philosophy is.
Yeah, and so much of football is just, we're going to eliminate Rob completely here. So much of football is just, it's a repetitive thing, right?
We ask questions anyway.
it's a reactionary sort of thing. And the only way to have that done, you know, to gain that is to just have it drilled into your head over and over again.
Over and over.
You do a lack of lack of preparation, lack of practices. I went from a very West Coast, my first 4 years at BYU were very West Coast football, Norm Chow oriented. And then all of a sudden we got a Gary Croton offense, which was shotgun, up tempo. It was couldn't be different from a philosophy standpoint. And luckily we had in a whole off season to put it in, but I'll tell you what, you're right. When you change,
good thing there's a pandemic, which has allowed them to practice every day. Or wait a minute. No, never mind.
Yeah. It can be hard. 100%. I agree. It can be really hard to break habits, especially if you've done them year after year after year. And then all of a sudden someone says, hey, this is completely different. You're right. Some of those habits can die hard. And I think you're seeing that around the country.
Well, yeah. And honestly, guys, that was part of my, because I didn't have enough time to truly get into those habits of Dirk Cutter, which, you know, Dirk has a tremendous career as an incredible coach, just a different philosophy than Tedford had. Right. So I only had him for 1 year, and then I had 4 years of Tedford. So that was all I knew. And then I got to the NFL, and it went straight, and I'm talking about like straight Bill Walsh West Coast offense, like where I asked the question, you know, looking at the chalkboard and saying, I'm going to get hit in the back here. How can I protect myself? And the answer was, well, you can't protect yourself. And I said, why can't I protect myself? And the answer was, well, because Bill Walsh didn't build that into his offense. So there was that significant learning or learning curve or breaking of habits for me, going from college to the NFL. The one thing I will say, though, is that Chuck doesn't have any – I don't want to say he doesn't have any habits to break, but he hasn't had that game experience, right? He hasn't truly been hit in the mouth as he's trying to do – execute something that he used to do, right? He doesn't have that – that inflicted pain to register what he should do. So he may have it may honestly be a good thing that he doesn't have those memories. He doesn't have that ingrained in him, and he's truly starting fresh.
Power rank the Joey Harrington OCs.
Power rank. Boy, there's a no question. Number one, Tedford for me. However, and I'm going to include, well, you know what? No, because I had Malarkey in Atlanta as well. I had Jason Garrett and Mike Malarkey as quarterback coach or coordinator when I was in Miami playing under Saban. And they would absolutely be number two. I had Malarkey again in Atlanta before I was released and went to the Saints. So I'm going to put him, two and three, but put Jason Garrett in that mix there. And then I'm going to go to Pete Carmichael, who is still in New Orleans with Drew and the Saints and Sean Payton. And then, oh hell, Greg Olson, who is now the O coordinator with the Las Vegas Raiders, with Marcus Mariota right now. And then, we don't have enough time. Look, I had eight head coaches in 7 years, and I think I had nine offensive coordinators in that span, too. So yeah. We'll be here all day.
Well, you mentioned Pete Carmichael. That's interesting because nobody could name Pete Carmichael, like just general, you know, like basic fans. Because you know, you think of Sean Payton, everybody's talking about Sean Payton, Drew Brees.
Right.
Pete Carmichael has been the offensive coordinator since 2009. Yeah. That's insane.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And Joe Lombardi, who's been working with them as well, has left and then came back. That the continuity in that coaching staff, and it's such a huge advantage for anybody. I mean, it's the conversation we had a couple of years ago when Helfrich was leaving, right, and the transition of Helfrich and that whole continuity, you know, just getting rid of that culture. It's Belichick in New England. It's Sean Payton in New Orleans. It's Pete Carroll in Seattle. There is a significant strength and advantage in continuity. I mean, that type of longevity breeds confidence. It breeds comfort. And, you know, when we're talking about making decisions in fractions of a second, if you've been doing it for a decade with the exact same person and you know what they're thinking and what, you know, and they know what you're thinking, man, it's just instinct. Look, I'll give you an example. My senior year in this goes into story time. My senior year at Oregon, Tedford and I were just like at the hip, and he comes into practice. I came into the facility one day, and he's got this look on his face. I was like, what's going on? And he said, I was sleeping last night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had this idea of how we could beat this coverage. You know, who are we playing? We're playing USC or whoever it was. And so I scratched, and he kept a notepad and paper by his, well, not by his bed, by his air mattress in his office, because he slept in his office from Sunday to Thursday. So he kept a paper and pencil by his
bed. And she's like, so I had this idea on how to beat this coverage, and I wrote it down, and then I looked at it in the morning, and I was like, and he couldn't decipher it. And she said, can you figure out what this is? And he slid this notepad over to me with just like chicken scratch and like X's and O's. Like, you know, you wake up at 2 a.m. and you have this brilliant idea about how to beat cover four with a back, you know, with a zone blitz coming from the backside. And he slides it over to me as if I'm going to know. You know, like we have that type of comfortable relationship. He's like, yeah, you know what I was dreaming about at 2 a.m. last night. Here, like, why don't you just decipher this for me? And I looked at him. I was like, thank you so much for having this kind of confidence in me. But I have no idea what the hell this is. It was just like lines going over here and then like an X and then a circle and then like a cat and then, you know, like a barbecue and like all sorts of stuff. And so that's the kind of relationship you build when you've been working with someone for, you know, 5-10 years.
He's like, here, try to figure this out. What?
It's like, yeah, it's like an escape room.
What?
Let me just say on record, I'm telling you, NFL college coaches, coordinators, they're some of the most unhealthy people you will ever meet in your entire life.
They're grinding.
Oh my God.
But what does it all mean when you figure it out in your dreams and then you can't decipher your chicken scratch? God. All right, let's take a break. This is Joey Harrington here on Football Friday. I'll try to think of some more stupid questions for him.
Brilliant.
Coming up next. We'll be right back. This is 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike Sports.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Really?
All right, we're chatting football with Joey Harrington, as we do every Football Friday at 5:30. So to make a golf analogy, I think the COVID season, and you may have said this in similar ways in the last couple weeks, is going to be, you know, sort of how to play imperfect, you know, because that's the game of golf. Like, you just, you never really hit the ball exactly how you want. You just, you try to score with playing imperfect. And that's this COVID season. But when you have a new offense, like we were talking about with Joe Moorhead, and I get it that, you know, there isn't as much sort of, there aren't the old habits with Shuck, more of a blank slate. How many games does a team have to play before you can realistically say everyone should be on the same page? Or is it just this COVID season's going to be playing imperfect the whole time?
Ooh.
Another good one.
Another. You're on fire.
That's 2 in a row, by the way.
That is.
Now you just jinxed yourself.
How many games do you have to play? I would say one. Hmm. Right? Because, and help me out here, Souk, like, I've never met a coach who said, hey, you know what, it's okay if you, you know, make a few mistakes this game, right? Hey, we'll just get it back next time. Like, the moment you step on the field, you are expected to be perfect. Yeah. And that may not be realistic, but every snap you take is graded. Every decision you make is graded. Every route you run is scrutinized. Every cover, like, I don't know that you're given that leeway. Like, just because it's a screwed up season doesn't mean that people are going to be less disappointed if you lose. And it doesn't mean that people aren't going to lose their jobs if you lose. And it doesn't mean that, I mean, all those things are still in place, right? I mean, we can have a degree of, you know, say flexibility and, you know, a little bit of, you know, understanding, like, hey, you know, okay, I get it. But at the, I mean, this kind of goes back to the question of last week, like, what's it going to take for the Pac-12 to be like the SEC? Well, the SEC doesn't care about COVID. The SEC doesn't care that, you know, Shuck hasn't been thrown to his receivers. Like, at the end of the season, when they've got the college football playoff set, and, you know, if a Pac-12 team isn't in it because people have said, ah, you know what, it's a pandemic season. You know, it's okay. It just means the Pac-12 isn't in there.
Well, and you never know too. Like, I remember one of my first years there, we had a quarterback competition in camp, and this, you know, Paul Shoemaker, I think was his name. He won the job.
we came out against UW and he played horrifically in the first half. We were down by 28. They put in the backup and he had a good second half and Paul never played again. You know, he took the job and ran with it. You can get Wally pipped real quick. So if you come out and you think it's your job at left tackle, it's your job at quarterback, your job at running back, you fumble a couple times, you throw a pick, and they go to a different kid and he performs, you may not get back out there.
And it really doesn't matter if there's a global pandemic or not. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, heck, let's go back to my career, right? AJ Feely and I were fighting for that job after Akili left. And, you know, Coach Bilotti told me that it was 1A and 1B coming out of camp, and AJ is going to start. But, you know, I'll take a series or two against Michigan State. And AJ went out and threw for 350 and a couple touchdowns against Michigan State. And I didn't see the field for a month. Then all of a sudden I get put in at Arizona and we come back and win on the road. And then the following week at Arizona State, you know, come back and win on the last drive. And like you said, I never came out again. Like, you have to be ready for your opportunity no matter when it comes and no matter the circumstances. And that's a pretty calloused thing to say. I mean, when you're talking about the real world, I mean, what is actually happening in this world? Yeah, everybody is working with an imperfect slate right now. However, when you're on that football field, they are still going to expect you to make the right decisions and to be as close to perfect as you possibly can.
Well, and at least for me, the first handful of weeks here, I've thrown out everything I thought I knew. Tennessee is supposed to have a senior quarterback that's supposed to come out and be good, and he's been dreadful so far. LSU is supposed to be able to reload and have this great defense, and their defense has been absolute trash, right? North Carolina is supposed to be a top five team, and they go out and lay an egg. It just, to me, I look at Oregon and Stanford.
Arkansas is a dominant team, though.
Yeah, Arkansas, I mean, all of a sudden
they're just a dominant program. I mean, we should expect that every year.
You know, Stanford was
like
not
Kansas.
Stanford was not good last year. Stanford has lost a ton to COVID. They don't have a ton coming back. Oregon is better than them at every single position. Stanford hasn't been able to practice during the whole pandemic. There honestly is no reason you can give me why Oregon loses to Stanford in week one. But if it happens, I'm not going to say that I'm shocked by it.
You weren't surprised, exactly.
No. And yet there's not a single thing I can point to in week one that leads me to believe that Stanford will beat Oregon or should beat Oregon. But welcome to the world of college football pandemic 2020.
But within that world right there, every coach is still going to expect their players to be as perfect as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's reality.
All right, sir. Well, two more weeks, and we have Pac-12 football to discuss. Tangible football.
It's only 2 weeks?
15 sleeps.
Yeah, November 7th.
Yep. 15 sleeps. I love that. Hey, Daddy, how many more sleeps until we get to go? 6 sleeps.
20, oh, okay. Also, 20 sleeps to the Masters. I'd just like to point that out.
Ooh, yeah, who you got?
That's coming. I don't know yet. I haven't dug into my patented...
Rob's going to take that very seriously.
My award-winning research.
He's not just throwing that out there.
It's a big deal. People tune in for my pick.
What?
So.
Just pick Tiger. You'll be fine.
Well, not a bad way to go. Are you playing any golf with that wrist of yours?
You know what? I found a way to play golf. Good. So here, and it's, I'm kind of disappointed. So I got to wear a carpal tunnel compression sleeve, and then I do like this wrist brace around it. And I've had to completely, I have to take a 3/4 swing because I can't hinge at the top and I can't extend at the bottom. I have to take a 3/4 swing and every shot has to be a knockdown. However, I'm going to crush at Bandon now.
Yeah.
And I can go to Ireland and I'm going to be on the European tour in 9 years. Dude. Because everything I'm going to hit is just going to be low and out of the wind. It's going to be a ground game.
That's great. I hope you play better that way.
I hope your brace is orthopedic brown too, just for aesthetic purposes. Why on God's green earth they make every one of those braces that horrible color? I don't know, but
my compression sleeve is my carpal tunnel sleeve is my brace is a very sleek black, and I may actually maybe we could get some like Jordan elephant print on it.
There you go. Oh, hey, you know people at Nike.
Yes.
Get Tinker involved in that. Pull some Morgan connections.
Let's do it.
All right. Have a good weekend. Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye, Joseph. We gotta go. Love your body.
See ya.
There he goes.
Like he said.
Yeah, he never wants to hang up.
No.
He's always, he wants more.
He's stuck at home. I mean.
Yeah. Well, we know what that's like. He's got two little kids. Yeah. And
look, we're lucky. We get to go to work every day. A lot of people don't have that. They're sitting at home right now.
That's right. I have numbers on tactical gear sales in the United States.
Jeez Louise. A lot of people wanting to play cosplay, dress up here.
We'll get to that to kick off the club next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.